Back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Final thought real quick before we go back to the phones. Senator Ron Johnson, I was just sort of listening in one ear to the hearings this morning. The joint oversight hearing on security failures during the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Yeah, right. Senator Ron Johnson asked a couple of the former sergeants at arms, did you guys get my letter? Because I was watching to see if a letter was sent out about, you know, the questions stuff. I sent you guys a letter. I didn't see that anyone even received the letter. I didn't receive confirmation that you received my letter. A sitting United States senator says, did you receive my letter? He also said, we can't get word from the current sergeant at arms on whether or not my letters were forwarded to you guys. One guy says, no, Senator, I did not receive your letter. The other guy says, basically, I do not recall. Really? You do not recall if you received a letter from a sitting United States senator concerning the thing, you know, the hearing that you're about to attend? You do not recall? Really? That's interesting. Yet people are showing up to events that no one else really knows about and getting footage that they sell to major networks. And so, you know, all of that is not strange at all. The point is this, getting back to the correlation, you know, to the spiritual battle. Mark 4:22, for nothing is hidden except to be... There are lots of, you know, there are mysterious forces conspiring, you know, in the shadows to do bad things. So Mark 4:22 says, for nothing is hidden. This is the ESV. Nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Luke 8:17, similar. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And there are many, many other passages along those lines. But, you know, you think of 2 Peter chapter 3, you know, in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues as it was from the beginning of creation. It's all still secret, man. Where is he? When's it gonna? Oh, don't worry, it'll happen. And you read the rest of the chapter, and Peter is pretty explicit. So anyway, spiritual battle. Back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Hey.
Hello, Glenn.
Are you there? 46 minutes, bud. Good morning. I've been listening to Fred prattle on.
Glenn. It happens.
No, this is a daily occurrence. It's kind of turning RBN into the old folks, bored old folks prattle on channel. Oh, by the way, vehement is not a word, Fred. Vehement is a word.
By the way, what?
And it's just like when people call in, it would be nice if they would make a point or two, and then get out of the way and give somebody else a turn at the water fountain. It reminds me of elementary school.
Okay. What happened, Glenn?
What's that? I'm here. What's that? I'm here.
I said we lost you for a second. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Oh, I said it would be nice if when people call in, they have a point, make a point, and then let someone else have a turn at the water fountain. It reminds me, I was reminded of elementary school, and they're coming from recess, and then the line forms at the water fountain. There are always these people who just stay there and say, come on, next person. Fred, I'm not looking for self-effacing remarks or self-deprecating remarks. I just appreciate it can be a little concise. And he himself would even say, I'm prattling on. Yep, Fred, you're prattling on. I don't have 3% of my day. You know, I like calling in, but when it's always half hour wait, 45 minute wait, you know, and, you know, we've got the old folks contingent prattling on, making themselves mini guests every day and prattling on for 20 minutes. It's really, really, you lose what you were going to call in about. One thing about these capital, this January 6th stuff, I heard some creep on, like it was, you know, somebody played a clip on RBN last night of some creep decrying the fact that the conservatives were comparing the events of the 6th to the events, of the past year or two and all the destruction that's been wrought by liberal or leftists. Rioters and this creep characterized that as, oh, they want to compare, you know, the breaking of a window in a mom and pop somewhere to this, you know, and he sacralized, you know, the Capitol to the desecration of the Capitol of the United States. And so the way he minimized the damage of the liberals, I mean, we're talking about miles of Minneapolis destroyed, Kenosha, Wisconsin, cities ravaged and destroyed by communist, leftist, insurrectionist liberals and rioters. And this creep characterizes all of that as, we're supposed to compare a barn window of a mom and pop shop being broken. It's not just the window of a mom and pop shop. These people have done extensive damage to our cities and destruction, and people have even died. You know, you look at that Chad and that Chaz thing up in Seattle and everything. I can't believe it. Right. So they're trying to sacralize this whole thing and make it, you know.
So if they're fomenting discord, it sounds like it's working. So my question is, do you think that those events were spontaneous organic uprisings, or do you think there's
No, they're exactly what you said. I mean, I think Alex Jones has done a good job of characterizing it because they're going after him and his lawyer friend. For saying that they were the brains behind all this and that they fomented and incited and led this. No, it seems to me like this is very much more of a, like you say, a LARPing thing, you know, with Antifa people changing into MAGA hats and stuff like that. And then, you know, maybe a few, there may have been a few right-wingers who got duped. You know, but I mean, that square was full of hundreds of thousands of people who had nothing to do with any of that. You know, so it was, like you say, it was a false flag LARPing thing. And they're even reveling in the fact that they, you know, pulled this off and duped them, duped the right wing. But enough of that. One last thing. I originally called in because you were made point about prayer. And you were saying something about prayer, changing the person who was praying. And while I heartily agree with that, I'm cautious about it because it's also kind of stuff of like left-leaning pastors and stuff. Like, in other words, yes, it's true, the prayer, I'm reminded of the three fingers pointing back at you when you point at someone else thing. Or certain things, when people get talking into prayer, they start talking about prayer almost as an entity in itself. Well, prayer is powerful. There's even someone who selling his nutrient supplement products, who claims that it's an amplifier of the power of prayer, and that's like about as insulting as that is you can get. So I think it's important to emphasize, no, prayer isn't so much powerful. It's the God to whom you are praying who is powerful. And the prayer is always interpersonal. Correct. It's always personal.
Worship
doesn't need
creation.
To be amplified.
Worship the Creator.
Right. And the God who can manifest as the still small voice can hear the stillest, smallest voice speaking to him. It doesn't need mm-hmm. to be amplified. And yes, it prayer, God changes the person who prays, and he also changes other things in people too. It's always interpersonal. So, you know, when, so like, when
me,
I rail.
Who asked me about. Who asked me about Brother Hutchings at one point? Southwest Radio Ministry. Somebody asked me, and it wasn't that long ago. Brother Noah Hutchings, you know, who used to come on the radio, and he would always say, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. I am Brother Hutchings.
Right.
Welcome to another Watchman on the Wall broadcast. So that kind of sentiment, you know, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. So,
right. You know. Right. Yeah. And I agree, you know, but it's, you know, yeah, I just think it's important to emphasize rather than talking about prayer itself, but talking about God, you know, we prayed and God answered. Praise God. You know, it's always that interpersonal thing that's the most important. But anyway, all right. Well, I've had my 3 points and my rant. So take care. God bless. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Glenn. As always, much appreciated. There was something that fell out of my brain. What was it? I know. Speaking of the Capitol thing, you know, again, I don't know about you. I just don't understand how people don't get the Bernays aspect of this. It just doesn't. That should be the focal point of conversation, as far as I'm concerned. Kind of like Trevor Aronson's TED Talk and book. You know, I just don't understand. I harp on this all the time. Is it me? Am I off base on this? Because, you know, Trevor Aronson proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even the FBI has not been able to refute what he said. There is the interview. I forget the gentleman's name. High-ranking former FBI official, CBS. That interview with Trevor Aronson, where, you know, they talked about his book, and I'm looking for it. I don't remember. Anyway, is it this one? No. So it was a CBS interview about his book, and even the FBI says, well, you know, I mean, it is what it is. If what Trevor Aronson said, his TED Talk is titled, How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists. He's written extensively on this. The book, published in 2014, is titled The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism. And I mean, this is a snowflake on the tip of the iceberg, for Pete's sake. He says, you know, paperback edition of The Terror Factory includes all new information on the FBI's counterterrorism efforts related to the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Right. Who is Uncle Ruslan? Right. Who is Uncle Ruslan? And who is Graham Fuller, as I think James Corbett put it. Who is Graham Fuller? And why are Uncle Ruslan, Sarney, and Graham Fuller buddies? Graham Fuller, one of the devil's henchmen who, like the devil himself, fades into the shadows, you know? Whatever happened to Graham Fuller? You know, he was on some PBS stuff. You can find him out there saying all kinds of goofy nonsense. Oh, my goodness. Why isn't this front and center? You know, so why is the Bernays aspect of the conversation front and center? What do I mean? Well, you know, again, John Sullivan of Utah, allegedly a videographer, right? Insurgents USA, right? A judge says, Well, you know, a former, actually at the time, a United States president, well, you know, he can be shut off of social media platforms because, as Eric Swalwell puts it, you know, like Osama bin Laden, he was inspiring violence and radicals. Well, is John Sullivan inspiring radicals on an insurgency? He's, you know, the organization is Insurgents USA, for Pete's sake. But a judge says that he can stay on social media, but a sitting and now former United States president cannot. Is there something desperately wrong with this picture? So anyway, back to the Bernays aspect of the story. I don't understand how this is not just, I mean, it transcends all of the vitriol and the guttural conflict that we're all supposed to be drawn down into. We shouldn't ever even, we should be up at a 30,000 foot view at least, maybe up closer to 60,000 feet. And when you look, for example, at the Politico article that was published last week, the 16th, judge refuses to ban Capitol riot suspect from Twitter and Facebook. But the court record, or excuse me, but the court ordered John Sullivan of Utah, videographer, to stop work with his Insurgents USA website and social media platforms. Oh, okay. Article by Josh Gerstein. So I'm just going to, you know, I'll say this and then we'll go back to the phones. The picture, rioters try to break through a police barrier at the Capitol. It's a joke. Julio Cortez, AP photo. I look at that photo and I see Bernays all over it. It's perfectly staged. The photographer has that line of, I guess you call it fencing or barricade or whatever the heck it is, barrier. On one side, you have, you know, what looks like law enforcement. Everyone has masks. Who knows who they are? I look at this and I see Bernays. I don't even know if it was filmed that day. There are people up, you know, up above looking down. A few people. Was this photo shot that day? Is it actually at the Capitol? Was it shot somewhere else? And then the, you know, the Capitol was photoshopped into the background? I don't know. Is it out of the question to think that? I don't think so. Happens all the time. It's been happening, as Vance Packard reminds us, for over 100 years. So why am I crazy for thinking this when this has become the standard? There is that thing, what do they call it? It's a Wikipedia entry, for Pete's sake. CNN controversies. Look that up on Wikipedia. CNN controversies. Numerous. Let's see, allegations of bias, coverage of international incidents. And there have been so many people who have misremembered things on air at this point. It's absurd how these organizations maintain any level of, any modicum of credibility is mind-boggling. You know, I guess Clark's third law is always in effect. You know, what was it? Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy. You know, you're not going to fool us with the banana and the tailpipe routine again. Something like that. You know, is that what's going on in America constantly? I don't hear anyone talking about Bernays. CNN controversies, numerous. And these are just those that have been brought to light. You know, whether it's the, well, you know, we weren't actually there on the scene covering things, or, you know, other networks, you know, guys like Brian Williams misremembering things. Actually, no, you weren't there, or whatever. It's just, it's crazy that, you know, we have the dubious coverage, not to mention the Bernaysian aspect, and that's not the first thing people talk about. Go to the political article that I'm talking about. Judge refuses to ban Capitol riot suspect from Twitter and Facebook, and see if it's not perfect. The it looks like these people are all staged. The, you know, people leaning on either side of the barrier, and I thought that on several photos, but the Politico photo, Julio Cortez AP, it really sort of, it's emblematic of that. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep.
Welcome back. Maybe somebody should make a site where you compare, you know, we should just compare notes. Like, can we get citizen journalists to the scene of events? Probably not. Can citizen journalists take these kinds of photos? You will see very quickly that, you know, you will see the stark contrast. I mean, just the most basic things. Everything mainstream media does is staged and scripted almost entirely. Everything in politics has been scripted for decades, generations now. Again, Vance Packard reminds us of that. Enough about that. I just don't understand how that's not common knowledge. And we don't even talk about those kinds of, you know, the specious conflict, because It's all, you know, theater in Plato's cave. Back to the phones. Harold, sorry we missed you. Brad in Massachusetts, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, Chris, thank you. Hello. Have you, are you familiar with a testimony from a man named John Melindi? I believe he's out of Africa, how Satan stops our prayers. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay. It was just a testimony from a former Satanist of what's going on in the spiritual realm, how actually witches, warlocks, and Satanists will go up into, I guess you would call it, the second heaven, for lack of a better term, where the prince of the power of the air is, or his minions. And so it's a really interesting PDF in how, as Christians, followers of Christ, how we need to overcome with our prayers. And it reminds me of a familiar Wesley Duell. Am I saying his name right?
E-U-E. Sure.
Okay. Well, briefly, he wrote in one of his books, intensified prevailing prayer is God's ordained law and method for implementing his redemptive plan in this age until Jesus returns. It is the highest, holiest, and mightiest effort of which a child of God is capable. It is God's chosen way to bring heaven's power, heaven's resources, and heaven's angels into action on earth. And as Charles Spurgeon said, he who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. Just because you've been bringing up prayer, I figured I'd offer that.
I appreciate it. It reminds me of the story in Daniel 10, where Daniel's praying for weeks and being overcoming. And, you know, so then verse 10 says, then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. In other words, like the moment his hands went together, he was heard. And the angel says, I have come in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Anyway, yeah, just, you know, just because we do not receive an immediate, you know, flash of light across the sky does not mean that your prayer is not heard.
Yes, you just highlighted when the Archangel Michael was being held up. Mm-hmm. They get into that and how Satan stops our prayers.
Michael showed up. I think it was Gabriel, actually, that was
Gabriel,
delivering
yes,
the message.
Yes.
But Michael showed up to relieve Gabriel.
Right, Mike, right. Yes. I feel like you'll enjoy that, how Satan stops our prayers, because it highlights a little bit of the tactics that go on that we just can't see, obviously. But it's real.
Another great example is the story of Elisha, whose servant is looking at the army assembled against them, and he says, we're surrounded, we're done for. And Elijah prays and says, Lord, open his eyes. And he's like, oh, okay, we're okay, because there are angels on the horizon all around them. And so, you know,
I think it's Daniel 43. I think it's Daniel 43:25. It's I am he who blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I'll not remember your sins. And so it's like, ultimately, our prayer to be fully effective, we would have to have the iniquities and the sins out of our life. Not that obviously your prayers can't be answered if you have them, because none of us are perfect. However, to truly have our prayers go up like smoke as an incense, and to be an all-consuming fire and a true burnt offering to God in Jesus' name, there's so much more that everybody could be doing right now to overcome the darkness. So, Chris, I really appreciate your show. It's uplifting and inspiring every day.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate your call. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. For the record, I think that was Isaiah 43:25. For anyone who might be looking for that. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins, I think, is the passage, if memory serves. I just double-checked that during the break. Anyway, I think that's what we're talking about, Isaiah 43:25. So back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. Just so you'll know, I can hear you real plain until I'm on the phone with you. So sometimes we can't hear what you answer the wrong thing. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay. I'm glad Harold called. And I really needed to hear that word, that name, Charles Spurgeon. Used to look at his last sermon. It's really long, but right in the middle of it, it's backing up what I'm learning, and I said, thank you, Lord.
I think you're referring to Brad. Harold, we lost Harold before we could get him on the air, and Brad was the one who made that reference.
Oh, Brad. Okay, sorry. Well, what I called for when you were back on the January 6th thing, what it is we have this short memory, and it's not just us oldies. It's everybody, and they count on that. You know what I mean? And so there's a 2-minute video I can't get anybody to look at that I know of. But my son sent it to me, and he said he called it a Trump commercial, and it's called "Everybody Get Your Pens." It's called "Don't Let Them Ruin America," and it's about the only 6 or 8 people that Biden had on his side. And Kamala, I think Biden's on there too, whatever. And they're saying, I don't want to give it away, but you just have to look at it. You will look at it. They're saying it's just a peaceful protest, and it shows all the flames and all the destruction everywhere. Really, it's really good, and it doesn't take long, you know, just 2 minutes over. And then you send it to everybody so they won't forget what happened in Washington and everywhere all over this country. You know, they've even been here. You just don't hear about it, but I do.
Well, again, I think of Bernays, and I wonder how much of that was you know, because, you know, again, speaking of what happened on January 6th, whatever it seems like every effort was made to sensationalize it. And again, you know, I will refer to the fact that on January 6th, when we were doing this broadcast live and I was watching over my shoulder the C-SPAN coverage, it just looked like people were touring the Capitol. They were walking within the velvet ropes, and you know, people like Lou Dobbs reported that because that's what it looked like initially. And then you have weird things like how were photographers staged in the balcony so that one photographer could photograph another photographer on the other side of the balcony photographing a what I would call false flag LARPer in the dais there. That kind of thing is just peculiar. And then you have other folks saying that, you know, we were cowering in fear in the balcony. We were all laying down. Why were you doing that? And I understand that there could be different times and things, you know, but it just seems too conveniently staged. So I wonder about all the rest of it last year as well, because, you know, again, Bernays reminds us newsworthy events do not happen by accident. You know, if you see it on the mainstream media, it was deliberate. It was planned to influence
behavior. Well, I watched one of the fake medias just because they had film. And, you know, you don't trust it. But I watched this one dude. He had his head down, his eyes looking up, and he's saying, you just can't believe it. And he showed, they showed on the right-hand side of the screen, they showed, like, people taking over the Capitol in 45 minutes. They went this way and then they went that way, and they keep on the left hand side. He keeps showing one, maybe 8-second, you know, clip, and they played it over the whole time. He's trying to say this is the way they went, and it's like somebody was leading him up the stairs. But I'm thinking, right. You really think that people don't see that's just one little 8-second video being played over and over and over and over, and I figure they don't, because I think that I've told people this, and I think it's right that what we've done and is that they have trained us on television for so long that your attention span can only last about 10 seconds at the most. And I find out that's the way people are. They can listen that long and they walk off or talk to them on the phone.
And, you know, in addition to that, there is a particular kind of cognitive dissonance that television produces, especially the news stuff. And Neil Postman really, I think, did a fantastic job of shining a bright light on that. Neil Postman. Neil Postman.
Okay.
And we played some of his stuff, you know, like his C-SPAN interviews with Brian Lamb about his books and stuff. But Neil Postman, you know, we should probably play that, you know, play some of that stuff again. But Neil Postman talked about just the peculiarities of television in general. For example, like, I mentioned recently that he talked about the, you know, what we call political debates in the television era are markedly different than what used to be the standard, you know, the Lincoln-Douglas debate, Lincoln-Douglas debates that would go on for hours, 7 or 8 hours. And now on television, you know, you have 2 minutes to answer and 30 seconds to rebut. And we call that a debate. And Neil Postman kind of laughed and said, we call it a debate, but I don't know if we can, you know, if we can really call that a debate. So that's what television does. But in a news kind of context, he said it's weird how they can cover a thing, you know, like some serious event, somebody died or something, there was a plane crash, some, you know, people died or whatever, and they talk about that. And then he says they have these weird transitional phrases where they say, and in other news, for example, which means we're going away from that thing. And it's weird because if you were having a conversation with a person who said, hey, there was a plane crash, I witnessed it, you would ask questions, you would talk about it, and you wouldn't have this strange segue, you know, this abrupt segue that you know, Neil Postman described as discontinuity. And so that messes with your head, because in reality, you would want to say, oh my gosh, what happened? You know, and you talk about it a little bit, but this television news coverage and the discontinuity of it really creates a kind of cognitive dissonance, a particular brand of
you know
cognitive
what?
Dissonance.
That TV station, the Taiwanese, called NTD, I made an acronym, Nancy's Too Dumb TV, they report it like it should be reported, but they report what you want to hear. Well, of course, they take them off. They've been taking them off for a few hours, but they don't comment on it. But that's the news you want to hear. You know what I mean? And instead of being brainwashed, and it's incredible out there nowadays. And but I can't say that we haven't caused it ourselves. You know, by putting up everything you put out with, you go get more of it. And I tell myself, well, I'm not going to go where I have this motto: go where you're appreciated, not where you're tolerated. And I said, wait a minute, where's that in the Bible? Oh, well, it's if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them and go on. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we tolerate too much. We should have stopped a whole bunch of stuff a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Instead of tolerating it.
Yep,
and now
absolutely.
It's at prime time. They know exactly when to put it on TV to influence your kids when they get home from school. Well, we don't have that right now too much, but Hispanic kids are still going to school. A lot of them, you know, because whatever. I live in a Hispanic neighborhood, so I know. And like I said, we caused it. But I just appreciate the I wish it RBN could get a show where Christians could discuss the Bible, because this is, you know, they shut us out of church, right?
I think we've been doing that, haven't we?
Well, I know it, but, you know, everybody says, well, I don't want to turn this into a preaching session or whatever, you know.
I always try to make it clear I'm not trying to sneak up on anybody at all. I'm just,
well,
you know, again,
think...
if America was a country founded on biblical right. precepts, then we ought to be able to talk in a historical context, if nothing else.
Well, the Christian radio stations, I used to give to them. I said, you're just going to have to do something to let us talk about the Bible with each other. And to tell you the whole truth, everybody likes to see us argue. People like an argument. They might start listening if we get on that, well, that's not the way I see it, you know. We
well,
have one right here in Fort Worth, one. And he is so thorough. He gets about five questions, national. He comes from California. About five questions. That's it. The radio stations don't have none. It's pitiful here. This is no man's land. I would
well,
never
you know
tell
what?
Anybody.
We're making up for it here. So I think
thank RBN and tell them you'll keep telling the Nielsen that that's your favorite radio station. Nielsen, you
exactly.
know, they send you $2.
Right, right.
Probably collect information. Oh, well. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Wonder. Thank you, Pat. Much appreciated, as always.
Bye-bye.
Does anyone ever ask what Nielsen gets in return for sending you $2? I'm just saying. It used to be a buck. I think it was less than that at 1.2, but inflation. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have John.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Here I
am. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning. I hope Pat is warm. I love that lady. Love to hear. You know, you mentioned Bernays, and you were basically dumbfounded because people don't talk about it. They don't realize what's
yeah.
going on. Let me give you a couple names, and then something may come pop into your mind, and we'll all understand why. Elizabeth Montgomery and Dick York in a movie in a series based on propaganda called what? Bewitched. Chris, they're bewitched.
Yep.
They are bewitched.
Yep.
That's the problem. Because we have lost the ability as a people to understand truth. We've lost the ability as a people to comprehend any idea that's not given to you by the propaganda machine. We have no free thought. It's like you said time and again, people echo other people's thoughts. They don't have it. Very, very few people have original thought. They're not able to contemplate. They're not able to look inwardly. And as a result, the nation and the world is in a death spiral. I don't want to sound so grave, but that's the truth. My people perish or lack of knowledge, or lack of knowing. They don't know what they know. They don't want to know what they don't know. And they only know what they think they know. And the more they know, the more they know they don't know what they think they know.
Yeah.
I hope that made sense. Because the more that I learn, the more I realize, I know nothing, really. I have very limited knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, I'm listening to this, and I'm watching, and I'm in agreement with so many of the callers, with Pat and with Glenn and with the other callers. And I agree with Pat. You know, it would be great to tune into a program that gave biblical truth, and yours does that, and I'm thankful for it. But there's others that will shut you off if you mention the truth of God's word, or you mention who Jesus Christ really is, or you mentioned the necessity for people to make their hearts right with God through his only son, the redemptive work of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a crazy man. You're a crazy woman. When there really is only one way and only one hope, and we see what's gone on, people giving themselves over to what the Bible calls so-called science and, you know, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. When Pilate asked Jesus Christ, what is truth? He didn't get an answer. If he would have said, who is truth? I think Christ would have answered him and said, I am the truth. Mm-hmm. That's exclusivity of Jesus Christ, folks, when he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way. That's the exclusivity of Jesus Christ to get to God. It's the only way to do it. There's not many ways. The world will tell you there's many ways. I don't know. I mean, like Pat said, I don't want to turn it into a sermon, but that's where the answer is. And I'll hang on and listen to your comment.
I don't really have a comment. I think that's about as well as you can put it. I think, you know, that's it, you know, and
well,
so the only thing I would say to sort of underscore that is, you know, again, lately, I just think, you know, so I've been convicted that, you know, you can know the problem, but if you're not, you don't have your eyes fixed on, you know, what you can do and sort of focused on that, and that is not a small thing. Then you become, in one sense, like Peter, who says, hey, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And so he gets out, and he's actually walking on the water until he looks at, you know, the CNN coverage, the MSNBC coverage, and all of that stuff below his feet. And then suddenly he sinks, and he's terrified. Or, you know, in another context, you can, like I said earlier, you can find yourself among the ranks of the fearful, unbelieving, and cowardly, and it's easy to slip into that, I think, and try to be edging and saving your own life and stuff, and losing your life, as the Bible, you know, Jesus said, you know, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. And I think a lot of us, I watched that happen over the years, over the decades. Maybe you have too, and I know that others listening have. And this gets back to what I said yesterday and have said recently about the allegory of the cave and how you get out into the sunlight, you're free, and you want to share this, obviously, because that's the, you know, you want to share that. And so you try to go back in and proselytize, as it were, to the, you know, the fellow slaves that are still stuck in the cave, and you just sound like a heretic. And so, you know, how do you do that in a way that is edifying, that, you know, avoids even the appearance of evil, and that is not you trying to, you know, effectively save your own life and losing it in the process? And it's a delicate balance.
It is, absolutely. It's kind of like when, you know, we call it waking up. I called it waking up in 2002 when I came out of a stupor and kind of had the scales fall off my eyes and seen the world for what it was and realized that we'd been lied to for many, 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 many years. You want to tell everyone. So you do it. And then I came to realize, Chris, I was throwing hunks of steak out, choking people and really pushing them off. It's like fishing. You know, you want a big fish, you got to get some bait first. You want to catch a fish, you got to drag a little red worm, catch a bluegill, catch a little bluegill, you know, and grow people into being able to consume the meat of God's word or the meat of the truth of the world we're living in. So that's a way to do it. And I appreciate so much, you know, a name that I hadn't heard in years, but I use the phrase very often, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. I actually met Noah Hutchins. Not a guy that was big in stature, but buddy, what a man.
I joke. The last time I was asked, you know, I joked, I used to call him the Winnie the Pooh mole. Because he kind of sounded,
oh, know, yeah,
like that. So anyway,
he was about 5'4" or 5'5".
Yeah,
and just a really nice guy. But he was, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he an artillery guy in the military? You know, something to do with armament. But yet, realize God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things, man. We can't.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: if we've ever been through our deep dark hours, and I have. and my wife has, and my daughter has. It's generally a couple weeks when you come to the point. Am I still on?
Yes.
Okay, when you come, because I heard something click. When you come to the point where you're almost ready to give up, you just don't think you got any more prayer, any more tears left in your body, and you're holding on. You know, you're at his feet, just grabbing his ankles, saying, crying out, I got to have you. I can't do this. That's when it comes. So I'm beginning to wonder, Chris, when the saints in the Bible were waiting for an answer, or anyone for that matter. My wife was about 3 or 4 weeks. My daughter was about 4 or 5 weeks. Myself, it was 4 or 5 weeks. The caller that said that prayers are being hindered, absolutely, man. It's a battle. It is. If we could see what was going on around us, I think it would scare us to death to realize how much we're really being protected day to day. Because that passage in the Bible that says he's going about as a ravening wolf, seeking whom he may destroy or devour, is absolutely true. He wants to kill people, and I believe he hates Christians worse than anyone else because they're God's mouthpiece on earth. They can we can't drag people to the cross, but because of the way we live our lives and the words we speak, or the hope that we can give through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can let people know they're not alone. There is a way.
Yep.
And that's what we need to be about. It's powerful, man. And I know, you know, this whole political thing, this whole idea of Trump's going to help us.
We got one more call that I want to grab real quick, John.
Okay, well, I appreciate you letting me go on. Thank you.
I appreciate the message, too, and you. Thank you, John, as always. Let's get back to the phones real quick. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. I know you. I sent you one email that you saw, but not sure if you saw the other ones. I thought one of them in particular you would find interesting. I sent it to Road Warrior Radio. You might – I don't want to – ruin it if you want to watch it, but it's just amazing. It's regarding a film clip, or I looked it up. I never heard of it. Utopia. Apparently, it's like a British series or something. But okay. They talk about SARS, and one of them that wasn't Utopia, but then the other one, the coronavirus or vice versa, whatever. But there's a guy talking to a scientist, and I guess I will ruin it. Anyway, he says it's not a real thing. And he says at the end, he goes, do you realize how powerful these and how much money these people have that are, you know, doing what they're doing to us? And that's what I think it all comes down to. It's... just amazing. It's really short if you want to look for it and listen to it, but it's like, what? You
I'll
know?
Check it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Taking my call. Have a good day.
You bet. Thank you, Rhonda.
All right. Bye.
Much appreciated, as always. You know, and again, so back to the other, what do you do about it? Well, we talked about that today. And hopefully it was helpful. Hopefully it was edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.